everybody. Welcome back to Sapphic Moida Club. We're your hosts. I'm Laurel Hachinova.
And I'm Audrey Nee. Luckily for this season's theme of we have all been blessed with Rose Glass's latest film, Love Lies Bleeding. Did she know what our theme was going to be? Probably. Either way, we humbly accept this chaotic movie.
So this was directed by Rose Glass, and it was also co-written by her and I believe one of her friends from film school, Veronica Tofilska. Rose Glass, who you may remember, this is her second feature film. Her first was Saint Maud, which you should see if you have not. It is starring Kristen Stewart, Katie O'Brien, Ed Harris, and Anna Baryshnikov, who is Mikhail Baryshnikov's daughter. I did
obviously
not know. Right. It's like, how many Baryshnikovs could there be? Actually, there are probably lots. But anyway, Jenna Malone and Dave Franco.
Also, cinematography by Ben Fordsman, who was also the cinematographer for Saint Maud. And original score by Clint Mansell, which I think is worth noting because he is probably best known for all the Darren Aronofsky films that he scored, like Pi, Requiem for a Dream, everything that has like an intense, stressful buildup. Black Swan. Yeah, The Fountain, Moon. So yeah, very much primed for this film.
I feel like, yeah, there are a bunch of parallels in Black Swan. And
oh,
and
for sure.
The transformation. So my favorite summary of this movie is from Rose Glass, who said, ultimately, it is just a film about a woman trying and failing to quit smoking.
You've already said too much.
I know. Yeah. And that's it. That's from here on out. It's just spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. So that's all you get if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, come with us on the rest of this journey.
Wait. I think there needs to be like a bigger warning. my wish, and I know that I can't have this. It's impossible.
You can't have everything.
Have it because of the internet. But I really wish that people would be able to go into this film without seeing or hearing like anything about it first. Like no trailers, especially all the trailers I'm seeing, which are like so spoiler heavy. Which I guess is maybe the nature of trailers, but so if you have not seen this movie, please, I beg of you,
just don't watch any more trailers. Just
well, and also don't move forward.
Like, yeah, and yeah.
It's like I want you to listen, but I want you more to not be spoiled and like go into this just as innocent as possible.
We're gonna give you 24 hours. We're just gonna sit here quietly for the next.
Clock starts now. We're not gonna talk until. Actually, there's a password. In order to proceed with this episode, you must unlock it with, I'm trying to think of like what would be a secret thing in the movie.
What does Ed Harris eat when he gets mad?
No, you already spoiled.
What? Oh, dang it. Okay,
what
cut
kind
that,
of car that. Does Dave Franco's character drive?
Nice. Okay.
Okay. In order to proceed, you must, this is an interactive podcast. You must answer that question. Okay, but seriously, go watch it. It's out, I think. I mean, maybe it's not out in everywhere. In
I
everywhere.
Know. In everywhere. It's not out in everywhere. Mm. Yeah, I do feel bad. Like, I want to insist that people see this, but I don't think it's, yeah, I don't think it's going to be everywhere just yet. Oh.
It's okay. You can come back later after streaming. Yeah, please. Wait till it comes out on streaming if it's not coming out.
Maybe in the meantime, go back to our episode about Bound and come. No, is that too much? Ugh, never mind. Cut.
In the nothing. Meantime, go back to our episode about something that is not a thing you have to watch.
Just
start from the beginning.
Listen to all. Yeah. Do all the episodes where we talk about Portrait of a Lady on Fire and then come back because hopefully you'll be able to stream Love Lies Bleeding by that time.
Okay. Great advice.
Thanks. Your mouth said great advice, but your face does not say great
advice. Whoa, 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 whoa. Well, my mouth said great advice. My butt meant great advice. And my face is half asleep. Oh my God. So, okay, I don't know what's going on, but my butt has taken over.
This is the longest spoiler warning we've ever given.
I'm really trying to get people to leave, apparently. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Please love
us. Are we bad at this? We're bad at this. Okay.
All right. I think we're good.
I think we're safe.
I think we've scared everyone off.
I think we're alone now.
I think we've scared everyone off who isn't our friend.
I know. We could just individually name people.
I know, seriously. Yeah. The three people listening to this, you know who you are. Okay, and you probably saw the movie with us. All right, okay. Right. Let's get into it.
Okay, what did you know about the film going into it?
What did I know? I don't know what I knew. Wait, oh, no, you know what I knew? I know what I knew.
Oh, my God. Is this a riddle? This sounds like a...
This is part of the puzzle to move forward. You must unlock my riddle. Okay, I was preparing my lineup of films I was going to see at Sundance this year in January. And at the point in which I saw this film listed on the Sundance website, I had no idea. I didn't know anything about it. I just saw like Kristen Stewart. It fell under the like LGBTQ plus track. And I saw that photo you keep seeing everywhere, the promo one of the two of them. And it was like K-Stew. And I thought I read like wrestling for some reason. Uh-huh. And then I was like, I need to stop. Like I need to avert my eyes. Like that was too much. And I was immediately that kind of like moved up to the top.
Did you see that Rose Glass was attached to it, or you didn't even, you stopped at K-Stew and wrestling?
Actually, you know, I think I might have, because I remember connecting the dots between that and St. Maud somehow. But needless to say, when I was at Sundance, it was definitely like, this is the movie that I kind of don't care about anything else. Like I need to figure out how to get into this. And because I had a P&I like press and industry pass, it didn't necessarily guarantee me entry into the premiere. And so I basically, like, after the film that I saw right before, I just like booked it over and just waited in line for I think like 3 hours to make sure that I would get in, which was totally worth it. Like I think I ended up in the front row of the theater, which is pretty far back because there's like a stage, and so it was like it all worked out. It was perfect.
And you were front row for the Q&A then.
Yes, I was. Cool. I was front row for the Q&A. I was just like, I was trying to take video, but it was like so stupid because I was like, like kind of like chuckling. It was not good. Anyway, so that's, I didn't know a lot, but I knew enough, and you know, I didn't want to like get myself, you know, too hyped up about it. But then I think afterwards I was like, I need to tell everyone to see this movie. But I think that meant like I didn't tell anyone to see the movie because I didn't, you know, like the same thing with After Sun, how you were like, wait, did Audrey tell me to see this? And I was like, I really need Laurel to see this, but I don't want to even tell Laurel to see it.
So you're just like wishing it inside your like, head really hard.
Yeah, I think it worked.
I think it did, because now I don't know how I ended up in the theater.
I hit you over the head. I mean, I kind of did hit you over the head.
Well, you got me into the theater where I saw it for the first time. We saw it again last night, P.S.
Oh, nice. Yes.
I don't think I knew. Yeah, I think I saw, of course, I saw like the Rolling Stone photo shoot for Kristen Stewart, and I had seen a trailer, but luckily my memory is bad, and so I didn't remember most of it.
Oh, good.
And I think maybe one of the good things about the trailer is that they cut it so fast, you know, that you're just getting these like flashes of like insanity, and you're like, how would you retain any of it anyway? It's like trying to remember a bizarre phone number.
What?
Because it's just like a random sequence of things.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's actually really good to know, because it's like, it's hard to detach myself from having seen it and then seeing the trailer and be like, that's the whole movie.
Yeah, that's everything. You know? Yeah, totally. And I was worried. I was like, oh, I might hate this. And so I went in with like, because you had done a great job of not being like, oh my God, this film is so good. So I had low expectations going in, because I think I feel kind of self-conscious about any queer movie that's getting any sort of like mainstream attention.
Right, right.
I think we've talked about that phenomenon before, but it's like where you're part of the in-group, you're like sort of, it feels weird to have your like in-group exposed to the world.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so that's a long way of saying I didn't have any real impressions going in, or just like very vague ones.
That's the best way to do it.
We need to figure out how to get that to be the case for only good movies, though.
Oh, my God. Well, it's kind of like the portrait phenomenon, almost. Like, I similarly, maybe, like, went in with such low expectations, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about it was, like, very, like, 90s, like, art house theater when I saw the trailer. I mean, we've talked about this a million times, and I almost had like low expectations going into it, you know, which probably helps. But yeah, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to like not have expectations, because I had this problem with All of Us Strangers, which we don't have to get into right now. But like, I unfortunately went in with, partly because of Paul Mescal, I blame him. I think I would have maybe appreciated it a little bit more if I just went in totally with like nothing. But for some reason, I was just like really anticipating the movie. So don't do that, Audrey. Stop.
Like, never want anything is the moral of the story.
Oh, yeah. I don't usually. What's wrong with me?
We've learned. We've learned not to desire anything.
Oh, that's so sad. It's true, though. But I think with a gay film like that, I was like, I can desire because like, oh my God, this is not... into like a film analysis about this, but like, you know, there are just more out there. There's more opportunities, like gay male protagonists, I think. And so I was just like, this is going to be amazing. But anyway.
But yeah,
there needs to be a potion. I need to drink like a potion or something, you know, to enter
like
it
a memory
totally.
Kinda, like, yeah.
I'm sure there's a drug for that. Okay. Speaking of drugs.
Oh, nice. That was great.
How do we want to do this?
Immediate impressions.
This kind of gets into like, I think the topics that we're going to talk about, but I felt like I was on this roller coaster ride from the beginning. It was like a little shaky, not because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but I was like, what is going on? And then there was sort of like a turning point.
Yeah.
It may have been when the first huge spoiler alert injection of like steroids happened, where I'm like, oh, I see where this is going. You just know tonally kind of like what's going on. Like, it's not going to be.
Allie and I were actually talking about it last night, and we both agreed that for us, the first tonal marker was the close-up shot of the sweaty hairy nipple, like in the opening montage of people working out, because it's like, oh, okay, this is like, this is gonna be not what we usually watch
because of the nipple.
But well, because of like all three, really, like the sweat, well, yeah, the close-up, the hair actually was the thing that was like, oh, okay, this is
the great trifecta.
Yeah.
Of tone setting, hair, sweat, and nipple.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, you're right. I bet you can go to any film and be like, if you see hair, sweat, and nipple all in the same shot, you know what's going to happen. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think for me, like the steroid, like when she is like, oh, yeah, of course, like this is like what we're going to do. I think it sets some kind of tone for the characters.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was a little shaky, and then all of a sudden, I was just going up, 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 up like roller coaster, like one of those free fall things. And I was just like along for the ride. Like I was like screaming and like laughing. At Sundance, the audience was like pretty receptive, and like all the queers showed up for it. And so it was so exhilarating and like so fun and satisfying in like every dimension imaginable. And then the payoff is it was... as good, if not better, than, you know, I could have hoped for. And so that was like kind of immediate impressions was like, holy fucking shit. This is, maybe this is kind of like immediate and after. I felt so, it was like so validating and vindicating, I guess. Like, it just felt like this huge release, because we're kind of getting into it a little bit now, but like having seen like every single lesbian film that came before it practically, you know. It just felt like this is it. Like, this is what
we did it, everybody.
Rose Glass and T.
Right.
thank you. So yeah, it was just like so cathartic, I think, at the end. I was just so fucking happy. I couldn't believe it. I just wanted to like celebrate, you know? Anyway, that was my intense reaction. How about you?
Yeah, very same. Yeah, I think from the hairy, sweaty nipple on, exact same. It's just like a roller coaster that's like peaking but not peaking. It's continuing to go up, and then yeah, it like climaxes at Jackie becoming this like giant sparkly Hulk, you know, that like takes down Lou Senior. Yeah, it was really exhilarating, and I wasn't thinking about anything but the movie in the moment, which is, it sounds weird to say, but it's like I was just in it. Like I was just along for the ride the entire time,
for sure. It was super immersive.
Yeah. And it's because, I mean, part of it is because I never expected anything that happened, you know, like it always surprised me. Like even when Kristen Stewart or Lou presented the steroids as almost like a box of chocolates, you know, like the way that she's happy to like give it to her is like, oh, this is, you know, it's just this fun thing that you'll probably like. I was like, oh no, you know, like Jackie's this like all natural bodybuilder. How's she going to take this? And Jackie's like, huh, okay, you know, and it's like, oh, that's what this is. That's what these characters are. That's the kind of movie this is. I was just along for the ride because I didn't ever know what to expect all the way to the end, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I did not see her turning into a 50-foot, you know.
What?
Like, Hulk. So that was, yeah, that was amazing. And it's interesting because, like, we should do an episode on, like, the magical realism endings of this and, like, versus All of Us Strangers. Because, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get into it now, but it's like this really did it for me. And I don't know that I would have, like, if you had told me that this is how it's going to end, I would have been like, let's do something else. You know, like, I don't think that's going to work, but it really did.
One thing that I want to clarify a little bit is, like, I was talking about how it was so cathartic because of kind of knowing everything that came before it. I actually don't think I realized that at first, right? Like, I just felt so, just felt so, like you, like, I was just so immersed. I was just totally in the world. Like, the world building was incredible. Like, I felt totally pulled in. I had no idea what was going to happen. I was honestly worried someone was going to, like, one of the two main characters was going to get murderated. Having seen St. Maud, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen next. And then afterwards, when I was kind of, like, just so happy and, like, elated and relieved and I don't know what else, like, all the feelings, it took me a while to realize, like, part of the reason why was just because of, like, all this baggage I think I had around the genre, I guess. Not really genre, but,
yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah. The entire time, I felt like something crazy would happen, like something just absolutely bonkers would happen, or like a really like hot, steamy sex scene would happen. And I'd be like in my seat, like, oh, can we do this? We can do this now. Like, you know, with our films. And it's like, ah, oh, this is so great. Yeah.
That just reminded me one thing that I did, I think I knew going into it was, I don't know where this came from, but K-Stew had said the sex scenes are gonna shock you. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the context.
I do remember that.
Remember this?
Yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah.
like early, like last, I think like last year sometime.
Yeah.
And I think like the, you and me and like the cunty chat group were in with like Heather Pacelli and Baby and Ami. I don't remember who shared it. Maybe it was me, but like we were talking about that and I think we were all like, eh, like, are we really gonna be shocked? I mean, I don't think I was shocked, but I was like very much delighted.
When I finally saw it, I was like, oh man, these sex scenes are going to be crazy. And it's like, they were great, but they weren't like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But then I don't know, like, what would shock me at this point? Like,
right, yeah, yeah. maybe she meant that for a different audience. All right. So now we're going to do our top three things. Is this? I see now that you said topics/likes.
That was from a previous, I think I pulled that from a previous episode,
yeah, yeah.
But top three
because I only did things that I loved.
Mine are not top three. I think it's just like a random collection of three things because I think it's okay. One of those, yeah, this is the chaos. So we'll go into three things we loved.
Are they prioritized in any way?
No,
can you like?
Not really. It's a mess. It's no. I think because there's so many things about this film that I really loved and could be sort of like lumped into larger categories. I sort of tried to categorize them, I guess. So it's very messy, I will warn you. And also, I think the reason we're doing like three things each is to really constrain ourselves so that this doesn't become like a 50 episode.
And some of our things might be the same thing. So
yeah, I don't know what Laurel's going to say. For all I know, it could be like Ed Harris's wig. Is number one. That would actually be on my list, but that's not on this list.
It's on my ultimate list. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is. Like my ultimate list is very long.
Speaking of which, do you know what Kristen Stewart's dad in real life looks like?
Does he look like that? Oh God. No, I don't think I do.
Kristen Stewart dad.
Oh wait, I did remember her talking about her father for some reason. Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, I think I've seen... That's so funny. I think this movie is actually just a documentary. Yeah, wow, that's... I think Ed Harris was the one who...
Yeah.
...made the suggestion of making his wig like that. So I wonder if he had, like, met... He, like, knew her father. It's like, I'm gonna fuck with you.
I've also learned that it's called a skullet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Congratulations. Welcome to Americana.
Yeah, this whole movie did feel like a non-American's take on America. You know, it's like, oh yeah, guns, working out, like murder, crime.
I mean, it's weirdly accurate, I guess. I don't know.
Like, it's not wrong.
Because America is really, like, America is a caricature of America. It's like, America is America on steroids, right? So the depiction felt, like, very kind of exaggerated, but also real at the same time, you know? Mm-hmm. Having lived through the 80s as a bodybuilder, I can speak to this. All right, who's kicking it off?
Okay, I've decided that you're going first because you saw it first.
I feel like you're always making me go first for some reason. Okay, my first thing is a collection of things, and the category that I'm lumping it under is what I really loved is how this film is kind of set within kind of a familiar neo-noir pulpy aesthetic setting, but at the same time, essentially like defies all the tropes and cliches that you would expect, not just for that genre, but also for queer lesbian film, especially, I would say that. That was like very unconcise. But my, okay, under this umbrella is, here are some examples.
Okay, great.
They meet and they fuck almost immediately. Mm-hmm. For, as we know, for a lesbian film, like it's usually it takes an hour
like
to get
halfway
to sex
in, yeah.
Or to anything. I was talking to Heather about it, and she said she looked at her watch and she said it was about 15 minutes.
That has to be a record. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think I can think of one other film that beats up. But anyway, I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to say anything. I love the depiction of sex. I thought it was like hot, rough, aggressive, desperate, smutty, real. You know, it just felt like sweaty. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if I've ever seen a lesbian film that like, that's not a porn that goes into like fisting and like, you know, there's no like fisting cam or anything like that, but you don't see that often. Mm-hmm. Just like randomly listing off things that fall into this category. There's really no femme fatale, which I think you would typically expect for this type of films in this genre. I also feel like the equality piece, both of the characters feel like their own real unique person and not like a cliche or like a stereotype of what you would expect in those roles typically. There's no like, I mean, I love, don't get me wrong, like I love like Bound, but unlike Bound, you know, you might expect like a butch femme characterization, but it's like you have someone like Jackie, her body, that like build, you just don't see that typically in films, right? Mm-hmm. That's usually reserved for like men. Mm-hmm. And then to combine that with femininity, the fact that it just like breaks down and challenges like your concept of what femininity is, I just feel like it was like that, and that alone, it's like, can we write a thesis on that? So both actors are queer in real life, which, yeah, that almost never happens, I feel like. And then in the film, like no one kind of does like what the quote unquote right thing and what you would expect.
Yeah.
They just continue to push through in this way that defies like your expectations and like embraces what it is, like embraces the violence, doesn't like apologize for it. And even all the way to the end, it's not like they like drive off into the sunset and even like Thelma Louise style, right? Like the violence perpetuates or just continues. And I feel like everything ultimately about the film, even though you can see like her references, like Rose Glass just seems like she's like the biggest film nerd, nothing feels like derivative. It feels like inspired, but like fresh and original. And I will stop there.
All right. So that's funny because a lot of the...
Did I cover like your top three all within my one?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
well, okay. So my number three is... You touched on my number two, and I'm just going to like leave that there as a teaser.
I touched on it or I stretched it
out. Oh, God. okay, my number three is the comedy aspect of it, because that was so surprising. I definitely didn't go in expecting it to be as funny as it was. Kristen Stewart is insanely funny in this.
I know.
Okay, so the one time when Lou Sr. is on the phone with her.
Oh my God, that was so good.
And he's like, are you threatening me?
That was...
It's not just the, yep, you know, it's also the pause before the, oh my God, it's so like, and you can see her like thinking, and then she does this little like nod, like, mm-hmm, yep, you know, like,
That was fucking perfect. You could feel the sort of there's so much tension there, and then like when she's the way she says it, it's like that's like just simple.
She's such a kid, you know. Like you can see so much history.
Funny.
In it.
Yeah, and like the whole audience, like you could feel like the laughter kind of like vomit out of them because it was just like so good after that tension. Ugh. Ugh. I'm glad you remember that.
So like Kristen Stewart across the board, all of her like her comedy bits, but then also you know just like. Ed Harris's hair, the cat licking the blood off of the floor, like when Daisy is wrapped in the rug behind the couch. The whole Daisy. Like smoking subplot is hilarious.
That was so good.
And the way that it comes back up, like when JJ is in the trunk and she's about to close the lid and she looks she can see his cigarette sticking out of his pocket and she's like, nope. And she like closes it.
The card that Daisy gives her, that she draws that like little flower. Yeah. That's
Daisy
like,
also just like, oh my god. And like Daisy's comedy I feel is leveraged really well towards the end when she becomes kind of sinister, you know?
Yes.
Like for a split second, and then she like threatens her
character like, development was like kind of incredible. Yeah,
holy crap. Yeah. So
did not see that coming.
All right, so that was my number three of comedy.
That's really good. I love that. I feel like this is very well-rounded, our list, hopefully.
Okay,
okay, my next one's gonna be much shorter, which is because I already touched on this like when we were talking about first impressions, but it's really the commitment to that buildup, you know, because it's just like she goes hard and she just keeps going harder and harder and harder. The tone, the pace, everything, like the violence keeps building up, the steroids, you know, like her body is physically, she's literally growing until she just gets giant, you know? And I didn't catch it the first time. Somehow my eyes deceived me, but like the scene where she's like, she actually smashes, you know, the guy's, I'm not gonna say his name, whatever, his face. And she's like, there's an angle where she is like much bigger.
I didn't catch that either, but Allie did. And then she pointed it out like this time. And I was like, what the fuck? She's like almost as tall as, like she's hitting the ceiling.
She's
basically
hitting the ceiling. Yeah, I think it's because the angle, like the camera's kind of a little bit above. So it's hard to tell like what's going on exactly.
And she's like glowering at him. So like emotionally, she's already towering over him. And I think that's what I was latched onto.
Yeah, and all the signs are there, like, right. I think I read some article about like, or some interview where Rose Glass was like, they were trying to kind of imply or metaphorically show the like muscle building, but it just didn't seem like it was working. And so they were like, you could hear it and see the physical growing of it. It's just like insanely dramatic crescendo. You just fucking buckle up, just let go, you know, like let go while like Rose Glass stretches you out basically.
Oh my God. Are you, it's going to be like every five minutes is a stretching reference.
I mean,
great. Okay. My number two is you've talked about this kind of in your first one, but gender, like both leads are, or both characters are such an interesting mix of traits that are usually seen as either masculine or feminine, like strength, softness, beauty, ambition, violence, like caretaking, the way that like Lou cares for her sister, and then also like aggressiveness. And then, like you were saying earlier, like seeing a female bodybuilder portrayed as this, like, that body type, but then also just this like beautiful, very feminine person, and whose femininity is like never questioned, except Daisy kind of makes some snide remarks about it. But she even gets like hit on by some dude, which I usually don't like care about, but like I don't think I've ever seen a muscular woman depicted as sexually desirable in a heterosexual context. Like I can't think of anything. But then also the way that their characters take on certain things, like Jackie is super strong, but Lou kind of does the like quote unquote heavy lifting of the two of them, like when things go to shit. And then like Lou is more cautious, but Jackie is like super ambitious and like focused on getting things done in so many ways. And then like by the end, like Jackie is literally tossing Lou around like in the credits, you know. It's so cute.
I love that so much. It's so so precious. Yeah.
Rose Glass said this really cool thing about how Jackie is kind of the 80s and Lou is the 90s. Like Jackie is the 80s in that she's like ambitious, focused on like bigger, better, more or whatever. And then like Lou is this like jaded person. She's cynical. She's like known and seen too much. And so
really
the movie is depicted in like 1989, which is like the midpoint between the two. Mm-hmm. She also said this thing about how our bodies are this interesting midpoint between our inner selves and like the outer world, and what we do to our bodies reflects how we like how we see ourselves in that context of the world. Like, what makes us feel safe, you know, and then also safe from what? Like, Jackie is like sculpting her body because it makes her feel powerful, whereas Lou can't even stop smoking, right? Like, doing something that is literally bad for her.
Right.
But Lou will take the yolks out of Jackie's eggs. You know, it's like how they care for each other's bodies is interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. Gender and bodies is my number two.
Yeah, I feel like there's also a control thing too, right? With Jackie, you get the sense that she's lost control. She doesn't feel like she's in control.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to kind of control what she looks like, everything around that, you know, I think is kind of an interesting metaphor. And then also going back to what you said about gender and embodiment and like what you expect typically in this kind of film. And maybe I was talking about this earlier too, but like, I think it's interesting when Jackie first enters the scene or enters the gym and Lou sees her for the first time, she's essentially like the ingenue, right? Like as she's entering that moment and like Lou is like looking at her, it's really interesting, like sort of how she plays with those roles, Rose Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my last one, which is not a umbrella one, is a very specific one, is just simply, or not simply, Katie O'Brien. This sounds creepy, but I've been watching her. Oh my God, I'm going to just stop.
Oh my God.
Okay, no. I've seen her in like Ant-Man. I've seen her in Mandalorian. From what I've seen, like she's often cast as these, you know, very superhero-y type characters. She has a martial arts background, so that makes sense. I think she got into film through martial arts. And she also was a bodybuilder, which obviously perfect casting there. But this is actually in her wiki, which I thought was funny. She actually stopped bodybuilding because she didn't want to basically like take steroids, which I think everyone else was doing.
Yeah.
And so just like the irony of that is like pretty amazing.
Oh man, yeah.
She's so charismatic. And I felt like there was so much chemistry between her and K-Stu and like just so well cast. And I cannot wait to see what she does next. But also going back to like the body stuff we've been talking about, just seeing her on screen, you know, to me, this was like a huge breakthrough. And I commend Rose Glass for fucking doing the thing, you know? But yeah, that's it. It's just Katie O'Brien.
And they didn't find her, like, I don't know if you came across this, but they didn't find her until like 3 weeks before they started shooting. Can you imagine like getting that close, not knowing who it's going to be, and then finding Katie O'Brien? It's like, oh God, like a gift from heaven, kind of.
Yeah. It was like, there was a really good reason why they ended up having to wait that long, really. Like, there was no one better. And also, like, she was probably already, like, physically primed for that role, right?
Yeah.
In, like, 3 weeks, how would you have gotten someone to get to that state to be plausible
for that role, yeah, you know? Yeah. But then also, like, so I read that she had been really nervous about even taking the role because it's, like, she's playing opposite like Ed Harris and Kristen Stewart. And she was like, am I going to be able to handle this as a lead? And then she was like, if I don't take it, how else am I going to grow? But then also, I think she posted this on Instagram recently. She has Crohn's disease.
Right.
And she like needed to have surgery like at the same time that they were shooting. And so she was doing these like crazy workout days and these like really tough shoots, and I don't know, she's just incredible. And also, because they hadn't found her until super close to the shoot, they were basically rehearsing like right before they shot each scene, so there was like no rehearsal time between like with her and Kristen Stewart, and it's like, what?
That's crazy. Like, I just, to hold your own to both of those, like the entire cast, really.
I think
it was so well cast. Like, everyone fucking brought it and like was so committed. Yeah, I'm like totally blown away by everyone, but especially Katie O'Brien.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna be able to say this because they're not actually in my number one, but like, shout out to Jenna Malone and Dave Franco.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. they were so great.
I'm not gonna say this. What do you mean? You just said it.
I know. But that's all I can say about it, because
okay,
we gotta
go. Okay.
All right, so my number one is The Love Story. This is easily my favorite meet cute of all time.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
Like, she walks into the gym, Jackie wins over Lou by punching a guy and then getting punched in return. And then their attraction is sealed with a steroid injection in the butt.
Of course.
So yeah, you take it.
I can relate.
And it's so interesting seeing how like they what they do to each other. Like this hadn't hit me until like after, and I was like thinking about the movie, but they really do just bring out the absolute worst in each other. Like they're like, Jackie ends up murdering people. She murders two people, you know,
That you
and then
know
like
of.
that I know of. And then like Lou is, you know, covering up her crimes, and then, you know, I don't know. It's just like it's nuts, but it's also like weirdly endearing that they're but then even like as things kept getting more and more out of hand, for some reason never I you said that, you know, you're like, oh no, one of these two is gonna get murdered. And I was like, I never felt that. Like it never felt like it was like spiraling out of control. I never felt like, oh man, this is gonna be a tragedy and they're gonna die, we're gonna bury these gays or one of them. And it didn't. It just kept like escalating and getting out of control, but I don't know how to explain it. Like it didn't feel like one of these people is gonna die to me. I don't know why. Like maybe I just had too much like optimistic hope for them.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just like burdened by all the bury
Yeah.
your gays. But like, I did not know it was gonna end up being a love story. Like, I think it felt like it was going that direction, and then I was hopeful because they had so much chemistry. But then I think at the point in which Jackie actually punched Lou in the face, do you remember what I'm talking about? Like she's super roided out and she punches her. That's when I was like, oh,
Oh, wait.
interesting.
The first time she punched her in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And she ran. She ran to Vegas. You know, I think it wasn't until she like maybe threw up Lou while she was performing, like literally vomited Lou. Then I was like, oh, how cute.
Oh, that's what did it for me. Amazing. Yeah, I liked how like you could tell from the very beginning that like Jackie had changed something in Lou like instantly. Like the way that she falls in love, specifically the way that Lou falls in love with Jackie, is so cute. Like you can see it like in her eyes and on her face, and the way that she like closes the gym immediately as soon as like these two dudes start talking to Jackie. But then also like throughout the movie, you get a sense for how much Jackie's presence in Lou's life has changed her. Like Lou has been this sort of like futureless shell of a human being up until that point. Like she's never left the town. She hates that JJ beats up her sister, but she's never actually really done anything about it. She's never gone against her dad. She actually like still works at his gym.
I mean, she did stop murdering for him.
She did stop murdering,
And
yes.
every time she tries to do something to stop JJ, he takes it out on her by beating her
Being up for
sister
her
up some
sister.
more.
Yeah. But
Right?
she's like, she's kind of in this like,
She's trapped in like
in this very like trap situation.
literal
Yeah. Like
way.
she,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
she also like, she doesn't really like tell Daisy like, no, fuck off. Like, I'm not interested. She can't stop smoking. Like there are these things.
Right.
And then Jackie comes in, who has like hitchhiked her way across state, you know, to get to this thing. She's like, she doesn't have a home, but she's like training and she's like, you know, a bodybuilder. And so they're like very different people and they bring out different things in each other. And it's so chaotic, but it's so sweet.
She literally solves Lou's problem by murder. But
Right.
yeah.
Through murder. Yeah. And then, okay. So the last thing I'll say is that, like, no, the two last things is the sex is great. We've talked about it. But then also, they drive out to the desert into the sunrise in a truck with a cat. Like, I couldn't, there's nothing more that I could ask for.
And a semi-alive
And
person in the job. But yeah, the cat. It's really actually really sweet the way that they end the film. But it's not like clean, right? Like it's not just like, oh, here we go into the
Right.
sunset. It's like it's kind of beautiful. Like the lighting is beautiful, the cat, the whole scene. And then you see the like, you know, Daisy in the back kind of like rattling around a little bit. And I don't know. It's kind of perfect.
Yeah, it is perfect.
We have to wrap up, and so I won't get into this, so we can save it for another episode. But after I saw this at Sundance, I was staying with a bunch of guys, male film reviewers in this condo, and I had to explain what things like U-hauling were.
No.
So anyway, gonna just end on that.
Great. All right. Thanks a lot for joining us today, everybody. What did you think of Love Lies Bleeding? Tell us about it on Instagram at Sapphic Culture Club, or you can email us about it at sapphicultureclub@gmail.com.
But don't tell us unless
I
you loved
know.
it.
Oh, yeah, actually.
No, we're super open-minded.
Absolutely not. No, I don't want to hear.
Lastly, you'll find links to things. Did we? Are we linking things? No. Lastly, if we mention things, you'll find links to them, as well as the episode transcript. Definitely the episode transcript.
Great.
In the episode description, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Thanks for joining us. Now we're going to go off and get stretched out. Bye.
Oh my God. Thank you.